Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, Ashley?
What up? Congratulations. I haven't seen you since the wedding.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. How does it feel to be a married man?
Feels great. Honestly, haven't felt any different because we've been together for like 6 years. So.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. You?
That's amazing. I love love. I love
it was
love. How did you propose?
Oh, so what was it? I had her parents, I had both of her moms be there to take the photos of us.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did is I took her to the restaurant in the same neighborhood where we met.
Did both of her moms? Does she have two moms?
Yeah, she has gay parents.
Oh, very cool. I like that. Okay.
I took her to the restaurant we met here in JP. She was like looking for like the ring, like see if it was in my pocket, because it came like this massive friggin' box.
Yeah.
Had it tucked away in my sock. And then we start walking. I made sure we could catch the sunset at the pond in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like trying to get her like out of the restaurant. She's like, you want to get something else? Like, you know, because we're at a topless restaurant. I was like, let's kind of get a move on along around here because trying to catch the sunset.
Uh-huh.
Get to the pond, and there's a gazebo right behind where like I proposed to her.
Mm-hmm.
And when I proposed to her, I had both of her moms there like in disguise, like taking photos of us.
What do you mean in disguise?
Like they were like dressed up in like wigs and whatnot.
Cause oh my God.
They're taking photos of us as I was down there proposing, because I didn't hire a photographer, but Catherine, her mom, is like so artistic enough. I was like, want to take the photos?
And
like,
she didn't keep it was her mom dressed in like costume?
Not at all. But then I was like, because after I proposed to her, like we're kissing, everyone's like clapping, and she's like, I was like, isn't it great that we have photographers around here? And she's like, what do you mean we have photographers? And I point her up to like where her parents are. She's like, who the hell are those people? You get some randos off of Craigslist?
Check.
And then she's looking
check,
at her.
Check.
That's hilarious. Did she have any idea that was going to happen that night or no?
Nope. Not
nice.
At all.
See, I'm so oblivious to like everything around me that I wouldn't have peeped that either. But then when you said, aren't it great we have photographers? I would have been like, is that my mom?
She's like, who's these crazy Craigslist ladies that you got off to take photos of us? And then she was like looking at one of their shirts. She's like, I know that shirt anywhere.
That's hilarious. Oh my God. I love, where did you go for your honeymoon? Did you take one yet or?
We did a mini moon just because there's a lot going on. So
with COVID, and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, COVID was just, didn't want to leave the country. We wanted to do either Negril or Cancun.
Oh,
but we're pushing that off until next year. So save us some more money just because like the cost of the wedding too. But we went to Vermont for like a couple of days, just drove up there.
Nice.
Got some like really good eats, did some hiking.
Never been to Vermont. Is it nice?
It is very nice. If you love hiking, if you love like craft beers or like craft ciders.
I don't like hiking. I do like beer.
I
like maple syrup.
The food up there is bomb. Like everything's farm to table. So everything
nice.
Is all organic. Just even walking around, even if like you're not big into hiking, it's actually funny because we love hiking. And mm-hmm. She was like, oh, let's do the Camel's Hump Mountain. I was like, oh, okay, sure, why not? And then we get there, and I was just, like, trying to rush because it was, like, midday at this point. I was like, I just want to get the hike over with.
Yeah.
Park at the wrong location. Didn't even matter because the hike that we did was just so intense. We went alpine level. We climbed. We started at 1,800-foot elevation and went to 44,000-foot elevation, where I was like, what are we doing up here?
Yikes.
and then we're at the end of it. Like, we were hungry, tired. We're like, well, this is a testament to our marriage. We made it through so far. Day one. All good.
That's dope, though. Aw, I love that. Are people already asking you, what about kids? What about kids? Kids,
yep.
Do you have kids? It's such an annoying question.
I don't need it. My mom's not really pushing, but she's like, well, you know, when you have kids, what are you going to do? What's it going to be? Like everything, like where are you going to be? Like all the stuff.
Like, bro, can I just like get through 1 year? Like,
yeah, seriously. That's exactly like my thought process. But actually go like this for the wedding day. We actually have the tables as NBA teams.
Nice. So you put all the people you didn't like wearing the Lakers and stuff like that. That's fresh.
Essentially. Nice. And then my all my homies have the Knicks. Actually, it's
nice.
Right here.
We got a table sign right here.
You put all the homies in the Knicks table? Respect. Wait, where did you put her from?
They're Bostonian, so they got the Celtics table.
Yikes.
We had that on the other side of the...
I hope you kept them far away from the Knicks table.
The Nets and the Knicks table were far away. And the Hawks table, for that matter.
You're better than me. I wouldn't have even had a Knicks table. I mean, a Nets table. I would have been like, y'all can't come here.
Who's talking?
Like, my sister's boyfriend, actually, like, everyone says that he looks like James Harden, so I thought it'd be just funny to have him at that table.
So I'm not messing
bro,
with
it. Fuck, man.
No Nets fans come to my wedding.
Yep.
Hello?
Yep.
Who's talking right now?
Who's that?
Yeah, fucking help me with this.
I'm doing the phones. I'm the new guy.
Oh, hi, new guy.
I was so confused. I just heard two people having a conversation. I was wondering who it was.
And I was confused, too, because I heard a voice but saw no face. I thought it was the face of God. It's not the voice of God talking to me.
Oh, my bad, guys. Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you guys. So I was just confused. I was trying to figure out, like, what was going on.
It's all good. Is this Edgar?
Yes.
What up, Edgar?
What's
it's
up?
Alex.
Yeah. Oh, what's up, Alex? And is that Ashley by any chance?
Yes, it is.
Oh, hello. Nice to meet you guys.
Hi.
Well, I mean, I'm not in person, but, you know. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm good. Enjoying the win after.
What happened?
Enjoying a win after some difficult days, finally.
They said Frank got beat up tonight.
Little
Frank Ntilikina?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he did. Dorian Finney-Smith and Jamichael Green earned double techs as they sling off of Frank. Oh, shoot. They're abusing the French prince, wait. Y'all.
Come on, Twitter. I see nothing.
Yo, what's going on, bro? How do I find, because I'm not used to this new Restream setup. How do I find the show? Yeah. Yeah.
Dave, come back.
Edit destination. Yeah. Oh, I see. And then just save the settings, right? Okay.
I know the Pacers Twitter page was waiting
right,
to be gone after the game.
Yep, got it. Appreciate it.
Knicks fans flamed right, the Pacers Twitter account.
Good, because I know they had that tweet saved up in the draft.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I had a good time reading all the replies to the Pacers account. They tweeted, the Garden's real quiet after the Pacers' 12-point lead, and then everyone went back after the game.
Yep, everybody flamed them. Well, at least we can go like on a three-game winning streak with the next two.
We should. We should definitely beat the
if
Rockets
they don't, if they don't,
and the Magic.
Yeah, they don't fall asleep. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Bobo is finally getting some playing time.
Twitter's funny, man. I can't.
I have yet to check. Oh, all right, let me find this thing.
Which one?
I got to find the Frank.
It's just tweet.
It's on
There's
Bleacher
no video.
Right now.
Yeah. Oh, is there a video?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bet.
Hey, why are y'all throwing Frank like that?
Yeah, Dallas sounding like, you know, Knicks fans, the way they cheering about Frank over there, man. He is in good hands, I guess.
Knicks West, of course.
You're right, for real.
Okay.
I don't see it. You said Bleacher Report dropped it.
I just retweeted it, so it's on my timeline. Yeah.
All right.
What, Frank getting beat up? Was it bad?
they flipped him like WWE.
Oh,
style.
He got Charlie Ward. Oh man, who came to his rescue, man? Dallas soft.
Everybody.
Oh, all right. That's cool.
Oh yeah. Reggie Bullock number one.
Okay. All right.
Oh yeah.
What KP do?
KP on the bench acting like he's going to do something.
He ain't doing nothing, bro.
Yeah. Remember when the Russian dude whooped his ass. You know, he chilling. Then he came up with a shiner like mysteriously a couple weeks ago. So KP
it's
went
funny
along.
How KP is surrounded by like three former Knicks now.
Yeah. Four. Is Burke still on the team?
Yeah,
Trey's there. Yeah, you're right. Mm. Trey Burke's still there.
Yo, this prize.
Something happened to Frank?
Oh, so snake bitten on this freaking thing, bro.
So I ain't gonna lie to you. I stayed away from the Knicks tonight. I was that pissed off with the team. I ain't gonna lie.
Prize picks is killing me, man.
I'm actually doing solid tonight.
Bro, I had Ja Morant over 23.5 points.
Uh-huh.
He finished with 22 and they're washing the Rockets by like 40 right now. So you know he's not getting back in the game.
He's done. Yep.
I picked Miles Turner over 1.5 threes. He hit one, and the second one damn near went in the fourth quarter, bro, and bounced out.
Yep.
And then I took Garoppolo over 245. And I don't even know.
Wait, no, isn't he over? He's balling right now.
What's he got right now? Let me see. I think he's only got
Jimmy G was balling when I was checking in.
Yeah, he's only got 135.
Oh, well, all right.
It's got
the Niners are balling, not Jimmy G.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. All right. Get you guys in here real quick.
I just need the Rams not to do much tonight.
It's 21-7, so they're not about to do much.
But Matthew Stafford is not a fan of this these nationally televised games because he was trash last Sunday too.
Yeah, I need Cooper Kupp to stay quiet tonight. Then I win.
Al, just hold on.
What?
What? Let me just okay, now let's move it. All right.
Ash, this saga with you and Raptors Twitter is hilarious, man.
Bro, like, all I did was ask a question.
Wait, what happened? What happened with you and Raptors Twitter? Raptors Twitter is very sensitive.
So on Certified Bucket, which is the podcast I'm on for Uninterrupted, mm-hmm. Chris had said something like he apologizes to Raptors fans for the Raptors fan base, whatever, because he had called the Raptors pretenders, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
he tweeted the video out, and I commented, is there a Raptors Twitter, LOL? Because I know that there are Raptor fans, but not every fan base is heavy
right.
on NBA Twitter. Like,
right.
I know there are Timberwolves fans. Have you ever heard of Timberwolves Twitter? No.
Right.
So I tweeted, is there a Raptors Twitter, LOL? And, bro, Raptors Twitter came out the woodwork at my neck. And I said, damn, all I did was ask a question.
It was like, so upset.
I had to wave the white flag. I was like, I love Chubbies, yo. I love your city. Like, it's no shade. It was a question, bro. Like,
he's like, I watched the grass.
Did anybody?
I did. I loved the grass.
Did anybody watch the post-game interview?
What happened?
Oh, no, I'm just saying it. He's so funny when he does his post-game interviews. Like, he always sneaks in a little curse here and there.
Yeah, he came in there wild out of breath. They were like, yo, calm down. They were like, yo, D-Rose, you good? He's like, yeah, man, I'm 33. Yo, mad old. All right.
So funny. And you could tell, like, he was breathing so hard, like, he was, like, out of breath.
Yeah, man was out of breath fast, bro. All right, Ash, just look
but
up
the win
second.
Is good. I mean, I'm still concerned about the starting lineup, though.
Yeah.
It's just, you know where it is? Like, I'm watching them play, and, like, I feel like something's missing. Like a spark or like a magic that I don't see with the second unit. Like when I see the second unit play, I'm like they got it. Like mm-hmm. there's like a certain like joy and magic with them when they play. But with the first unit, like they look like kind of lifeless. Like something is missing. I just can't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah. I think they just need time to gel. Hold on.
They need Coach Carter.
They need
Coach Carter.
Oh, my God. Man, they got Ash. hold up, cuz. This is Alex. Trataros. You got CK in here. How much time you got left? CK, look up one sec. Hold on, my camera. Camera looks straight. Oh, you don't think so?
Oh, you good? Okay, for sure.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
looks like it was crooked, but you're good. All right.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I mean, from my vantage point, you're good.
All right, that's all that matters.
All right, let me get one more in here. Alex, how much time you got?
I'm going to make sure I shoot you guys a follow after all this.
Okay. How's the, any callers in right now? Should be some callers in, right?
So far, I don't see anything.
Huh? Oh, yeah, this one.
Let me see.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, I got to put you in the green room, bro. All right.
Oh, Alex, CK, if you guys see me dip early, it's because I have a early interview in the morning, so.
Thanks. What do you got the interview for, if you don't mind me asking?
It's a boxing interview with Clarissa Shields.
Awesome.
Yeah, so, but we're doing it at like 10:30, which is not normally when we do interviews, but I guess it's the only time she's available. So I got to prep and stuff, but I had to roll up because that was one hell of a win. So.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now another interview with NBA great, Tracy McGrady.
I've had Jalen Rose, Tracy McGrady, and Penny Hardaway. I'm banking in the NBA Legends category.
Yeah, all
right
I care about is Tracy McGrady because that's my
T-Mac
that's
was
my
so
childhood.
Dope, yo.
That's my guy.
T-Mac was so ahead, dope. Him and Penny were really, really dope. I really enjoyed
it. Yeah, Penny too. And don't think I forgot that you talked to my GOAT, Drew Brees. Don't think I forgot. You over here.
Drew Brees was my first really – was that my first big interview? Yeah, that was my first
I think
big
that was,
interview.
Yeah, right.
Drew Brees was my first big interview.
The first one was Robbie Anderson, right?
That was after Breeze.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, CP.
Yo.
Got to talk to the former
That was
Jeff.
Benji.
I'm talking about my team, though.
That was Benji from Manhattan. He said he's a regular. So
no problem, bro.
What are you guys going to do with
I
the
put
mic?
A three on him.
My boy.
Okay.
Done.
Yeah, you just got to chill in the green room when we get started.
It was fun while it lasted.
Eddie, you got to chill in the green room. You got to put yourself in the green room
I'm gonna put myself in the green room.
Okay, no problem.
That's funny.
Yeah, I was hyped for some good quarterback play. I was like, oh snap, we're moving the ball now. This is great. We're not down 17-0.
That last game was atrocious, huh?
Oh, it sucked. My co-host was there from a pocket. John was there. I was like, damn, you chose this game to go to?
All right. Insanity levels, bro.
It really was. It really was insanity level.
Crazy.
In a football time span, 2 weeks.
Yeah. right.
All right, check one. Should be good. Ash, just look up one sec. All right, ready to roll?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Fucking Prize Picks, man. Check. CK, just give me some levels.
Mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Ash, levels.
Mic check, 1, 2, 3, 7,
Alex, levels.
Mic check, 1, 2.
All right. check one. All right. So
y'all see the Nets ugly ass City Edition jerseys? Trash.
Which one? The one that say Nets on it on the front?
Mm-hmm.
The blue and red ones? I kinda like those.
Ew.
Yeah, I kinda like those.
That's one of my I can't say I hate them.
Yeah, I have to appreciate the throwback. It's better than that stupid, like, crayon color black ones that they have with, like, yellow.
Yeah, the Basquiat ones?
Green. Yeah, it's better than that shit.
Oh, you didn't like those?
Nah.
No.
Okay. I wasn't feeling
them. I didn't hate those either. I hate that change up, man. Stupid merchandise.
DK, if I see you with a Nets jersey.
Never. It won't happen. Trust me. You're good.
We got some questions.
It's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God the Knicks turned it around, because I look over there, I'm like, come on, man, can we do something? And then now we are, so it's all good.
All right, check one.
A-plus across the board this year.
I'll hate you when I'm gonna hop off. Okay.
Here we go. Salute to Knicks Nation. Hang on. What'd I do? don't tell me I messed this thing up, man. Hang on. Fucking hell, man. All right, first night without Dave is going well. Fuck, man. God damn. Hold up. Because it wasn't going in on my end. But this is still going, though. This chat is still going. Right? So, let me see something. Did I?
Oh, no, it's gone for me. I take it back.
Wait, chat's what's gone for you?
The chat.
See, the chat's still going for mine. Hang on. What if I do this? It says now it's zero users waiting.
What if I did this? You have to set it up again.
You think so, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Fucking hell, man. But I'm still seeing super chats and shit coming in.
Yeah, because you can still be in the chat, but once you get out, you can't go back in. And that's what happened with me. I can't get back in. Because I see the post game. It's a whole 6 seconds long, but it's there.
Oh, you can't get back in. Okay.
Nah, it's done. Yeah.
All right, hang tight, man. This thing is killing me. Oh, man.
CK, you like this chair, man? Let's see, we got the same one.
Oh, we have the... Oh, yeah. You know, it's old enough for me. It's starting to get squeaky. But I'm hearing that's because I have the bolts in too tight. I don't know. But, I mean, I'm comfy. I'm cool. I've had it for almost a year now.
Not the new one, bro. This thing is killing my back.
How long have you had yours?
Not even a year.
Oh, shoot. Maybe my back is adjusted, which is not a good thing. But I'm cool. But it is not an expensive chair, so that makes sense too. So
probably sitting at my desk all day just crunching away crap in this chair. So it's probably another reason too.
I don't
all day long.
You know what? Yeah, I'm not in there in this thing that long. At the most, like 4 or 5 hours. But like,
If I'm not at this desk, I'm at this desk.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, so that makes sense. Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh man. Yo, this is just a fucking pain in the ass, man. Come on. All right, ready to go. Check one, check two. All right, let's do it. Technical difficulties, and those New York Knicks are back. First of a three-game homestand. Knicks looking to get their offense back on track, and they did for at least the first half. You know, Kemba set a good tone. Knicks were moving the ball. They were moving themselves. Rest of the starting five took a little bit of time to get it together, but, you know, overall, you like the energy on both ends of the floor. Now, third quarter, thought it was the third quarter of doom, man. Pacers came out with a 10-0 run. We go into the fourth quarter, down five. But the second unit, once again, would come up big in the clutch. Led by IQ, Derrick Rose, my guy Alec Burks, Taj Gibson. Big, big, big shots. Big-time defense by this Knick bench. And Broadway Barrett hit a couple clutch buckets in the end. 92-84, Knicks come up with a come-from-behind victory at home over the Pacers. This is Knicks postgame live presented by Manscaped, CP the Franchise, Ashley Moore, CK2K, Alex Trataros. Hey, nothing like a Knick victory, man. It was tough. We thought the third quarter of doom was going to hurt us again, but Alex start us off, man. Well, give me some thoughts on this game.
Third quarter of doom is definitely the place to start, I feel like, because you said it in the beginning, CP, where you saw some good ball movement. You saw the sets. Stephen Bondi of the Daily News wrote how Tom Thibodeau said he wanted to get this team a little bit more in rhythm and decided to drop some plays, some sets that they could use early on. You saw that was working in the first half, even though there were some moments where it was a mix of, like, good defense and just some tough shot selection from both teams. But once the third quarter came around, they looked sluggish again, and you just knew we had to rely on the second unit to come back in and take this game over, which they did. And then leading into the fourth quarter, I think once we heard that Mitch, it was around that time where we heard Mitch was out. And what I really liked about this is that Tibbs decided to try the small ball unit for a little bit. It didn't really work too well. Instead, he goes with Taj, brings in RJ as well. And I liked how they ended with Derrick Rose, Taj, Julius, RJ, all those guys, because I think that was the mix that we needed. It was bringing your two guys in who you wanted to close with, who can give you some good defense, and who you want to close games at the end, who want to be the guys. But at the same time, you kept in some of the key bench components too, guys who were going to play their butts off and just keep you in this game, especially Emmanuel Quickley, who was shooting really well tonight. Derrick Rose, who was on a tear. Those are the guys that you needed to close this game, and I think it was just a good balance towards the end. So kudos to Tibbs for coming out with that lineup.
Ash, you know, in previous shows, you always talked about Tibbs, you know, mixing it up with the rotations, getting the rotations right, you know, mixing and matching. And to Alex's point, you know, he started with Kemba. Kemba set a good tone for us. But in the fourth quarter, you saw a nice combination of lineups. I mean, you saw one lineup with Alec Burks, RJ, IQ, Randall, you know, a combination of OB Top. Then he takes out Burks. He goes D Rose, RJ, IQ, Randall, Taj. So, you know, he gave us a little bit of the bench that gave us a spark, and then finished with our two pillars in Randall and RJ. What'd you think about this win tonight?
Yeah, I mean, look, the bench gave us more than just a little bit of a spark. 44 points from them tonight versus 13 from the Pacers. That is a huge difference maker. I mean, this is something that we have been alluding to is, you know, take advantage of the bench. We have a sensational bench. They play well together. The chemistry is there. The camaraderie is there. The floor just looks better when they're out there. And Tibbs, you know, took notice of that tonight, and he made the proper adjustments. This is really a situation where I can say that Tibbs really did not get out-coached, that he saw what was happening on the floor in real time, and he adjusted, you know, as need be. I mean, if you look, fast break points, 10, points in the paint, 42. It's just there was so many different things clicking, and I think that's because he wasn't stubborn with trying to make the same rotations work. You know, the spacing looked better. The chemistry looked better. The ball movement looked better, especially down the stretch. I mean, it just – it was flowing and it was clicking. Emmanuel quickly could not be stopped. He is so damn special. RJ Barrett had some clutch moments. It's about seeing what's happening on the floor in real time and making the adjustments. Every coach goes into a game with a plan. That's what makes you a good coach. That's what makes you a coach in general, right? But the difference between a good coach and a great coach is someone who can say, okay, this was my plan. Scrap it. It's not going to work. And that's what Tibbs did tonight. And that's what he needs to do moving forward. Is we know you have a love affair with certain guys. We know how much you respect the vets and how much you want to see them out on the floor, but you got to also see the game in real time. And what works is what works, and what doesn't is what doesn't. And that varies from game to game.
CK, you know, Ash brought up IQ, and coming into this game, I posted a stat. There was a stat going around Twitter that stated the top isolation scores, the most efficient isolation scores in the league. I think a minimum 100 possessions or something like that, and IQ was number one. And you saw him over the last few games, whether you look at it from the numbers perspective or just from the eye test, you saw him getting his groove back. You know, we're starting to hit some big shots, some clutch shots, some shots that really, you know, can change the game for you. You saw his energy on both ends of the floor, and I thought that's what IQ brought tonight. He brought energy, and he was shooting 46% from three over the last five games tonight, four of four from downtown. But it wasn't just that. He came up with three big rebounds in the fourth quarter, two on the offensive glass, four rebounds on the hole. You saw the alley-oop from Rose to Obi that rocked the Garden. It was quickly that set that back screen to free Obi up, caused a little confusion between Sabonis and I forgot the wing defender or the guard defender. But give credit, man. IQ was huge for us in the clutch tonight.
Yeah, man, huge. Another product of somebody that tunes into Knicks Fan TV post game. Because right when we were all ready to sub him out and have the conversation about him missing games, he tuned it in, like you said, two, three games ago, and he hasn't looked back since. And tonight was definitely the best showing of the season. And it will not be his best of the year because he's going to up from tonight's game, which is going to seem impossible because he was 100% from the three-point line when it felt like nobody on this team could make a damn three-point shot.
He hit the first
shot.
Three. He hit
yes,
the first
and
three for us.
He stayed 100%, 4 for 4 from the field. You know what I mean? And key buckets, and I'm glad you brought the rebounds because there was a possession where he had tried to get the ball off. They missed it. He was the first one there amongst the trees of the Indiana Pacers, and he was able to reset the offense all over again. His energy was contagious. And to Ashley's point, yeah, you know, I've been right there with you, been ranting over on my channel that I just wanted Tom Thibodeau to just understand that we can use the depth. It doesn't have to be this platoon of five and this platoon of five. Use what we have. Intermingle some of the players from the bench along with the starters, and he did that tonight, and it worked out perfectly. Derrick Rose got to stay down there. Mayo quickly stayed down there. Your boy Burks stayed in.
My guy Burks.
Gritty
defense
tonight.
My guy Burks' defense.
Burks was
on. That's a point
defensively,
of attack.
Facts, yeah. So that was just my big key. You know, I loved it. Loved how Tom Thibodeau, you know, sucked it up, and he made some adjustments. I don't know, you can make the argument that it had to do because Mitch Robinson wasn't in. Whatever the case may have been, he did what we've been asking for him to do, make those adjustments and trust the guys that you have, trust the depth that we have. And it was just really great to see. And like you mentioned, it all starts with Emmanuel
quickly,
and he's turning it around beautifully, very beautifully. So I'm liking it.
It's also important, you know, basketball is a game of runs, right? And the best way to kind of throw off any defense is to constantly change, you know, your adjustments and kind of throw them off their game. And what you can see in the difference between this game and previous games is, yes, there were instances where the Pacers went cold and that allowed the Knicks to go on runs, right? But it also, when you're constantly adjusting and you're constantly being creative with your rotations and your lineups, it doesn't give your opponent time to adjust to a certain style of play. Because once they've kind of figured out the five guys that are on the court, You change them. So when you have the depth, that is what helps you to go ahead and be in that creative, right? So like last season when we didn't have the depth, you can see that teams, especially teams that you play repeatedly, they kind of already know what you're going to do, right? You can go ahead and manipulate the playbook as much as you want. But when you have the same group of guys that you're really relying on for most of that game, it's very easy to figure them out. But when you have the depth, you can constantly be creative with the rotations and the lineups and the schemes and the playbook. It makes it very, very hard for a team to adjust to you. And we saw that down the stretch. We saw that in the fourth quarter specifically. I wasn't crazy about the way Tibbs started the third, but in that fourth, you could really see the Pacers were kind of thrown off their game a little bit. And in part, it's what helped us, or rather what hurt them in going cold. Yeah. And that's what you gotta have to, that's what you have to do as a coach, is throw another defense, another team off their game as many times as you can throughout a game.
Well, I think one of the things that slowed us down in the third was we kind of went away from what, you know, helped us in the beginning, because in the beginning of the game, you saw a concerted effort to really get the ball moving, really get us into a rhythm. They picked up the pace. They played at a faster pace. You saw the two-man game between Randle and Fournier really trying to get going. They were passing the ball, making more than one pass around the perimeter before somebody went for a shot. And then in the third quarter, it's like, things slowed down. They were settling for jumpers, you know, one pass shots, Randle turning the ball over. I threw a tweet out there, Al. I said, you know, it's like, I don't think Tibbs ever gets tired of guaranteeing the other team gets the ball when Julius Randle is taking the ball up. You're guaranteeing them a shot to get another chance. I still don't get it, bro. He's running, waving, zooming past Kemba, zooming past Rose into a turnover. I just don't understand it. But either way, you know, give credit to those guys for, you know, showing the toughness and the mettle to come back and win that game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the defense also was impeccable. Let's not ignore that. Offensively, it was clicking. Better ball movement, especially in that fourth quarter. I want to see us resort back to that ball movement. I think there's a lot of times that our offense is stagnant, especially in games that we've lost or games that we barely won. You can see that guys aren't moving their feet. They kind of stand around and observe somebody who has the ball in their hand. It reminds me a lot of, you know, the teams that LeBron James has been on. If LeBron has the ball in his hand, obviously it's different now because he's not playing at this moment, but it reminds me a lot of that. Like the offense revolves around LeBron. When he has the ball in his hand, nobody else is moving. Nobody else is trying to get open. Nobody else, you know, is spacing the floor. We saw that tonight where there was more spacing, there was more ball movement. I want to go ahead and get back to that. But defense can't be ignored either. It was, again, another reason the Pacers got cold. I mean, look at Sabonis. He was getting blocked down there. It was block city, especially in that fourth quarter. That is what the Knicks are known for, especially from last season. That's what they need to continue to do.
84 points, Alex. As Ashley said, I thought the defense was on point. The three-point defense in particular was great. Wasn't so great on Brogdon, which, you know, as good as Kemba was, they were definitely hunting him in that third quarter. And then my guy Burks came to the rescue and slow him down. You know what I'm saying? Where's my guy JD at? I know he's watching out there.
I know you saw my guy Burks. I was like, I know CP somewhere is happy as hell right now.
It was a slow go, but Mr. Utility, Mr. Fourth Quarter, he's got to play defense on Brogdon. He's got to hit shots. He's got to play point guard in a pinch, Ashley. This is what my guy Burks brings to the table. Now, the big man health, Alex. Again, you know, big question mark, bro. We come in, Nerlens Noel once again gone. We lose Block Ness, who had it. You know, I thought Mitch brought a lot of good energy in the first half. I thought he was part of that defensive effort. We lose him to the ankle. Give credit, my guy Taj Gibson, veteran presence, played excellent defense on Sabonis all night, and closed the door for us, man. Every part of a contributor on that bench as the other guys.
For sure, and this is something that, you know, we keep talking about with Mitch. He only had 16 minutes tonight, but his health is just always in question. If we're going to be that defensive team, right, he has to be the anchor because of his switchability on guys who are on the perimeter, right? That's the one thing we keep harping on for Mitch, is that his ability to guard the pick and roll so well because he's so mobile is what makes him so unique, and his athleticism too. I wonder if all these injuries right now, though, are happening because of his like his weight gain, the muscle mass, right? Because he's not used to it. I forget who reported, but it wasn't until this offseason that he really started lifting weights. And when you start lifting weights, your body has to get used to that added weight on. So I think that's added. I think that's part of it to like his injury prone. I know he's naturally like he's been hurt the last season, the season before that. So it's concerning. This is where you're like, where's the insurance, right? Because then you have Noel, who's also out. This is where it's Tom Thibodeau relies on rim protection for this team, and that's just a concern, man. Because we're going to go down the stretch, and once we get to the playoffs, once again, it's coming down to rim protection. Our interior defense is weak as it is with these guys too. It hasn't been great. Like they're still trying to work things out.
Yeah.
But now that we lose Mitch, we don't know when Noel's coming back. Like both these guys could be for extended periods of time. Like a big man and his foot, a foot injury, you don't want to mess around with that. So
you don't want to mess around.
That's a big concern.
I mean, you know, piggybacking off of that, you know, CP and I had this conversation last season, and some people didn't like what I had to say. But, you know, we can't ignore the fact that pre-weight gain, Mitch has always been injury prone. So, yes, you can go ahead and say that this weight is definitely not helping that, but it's definitely not the catalyst for it. This is just the player that he is. There are some players in the league. We spoke about this with Frank, you know, last season as well. There are just some players in the league whose ability to perform and ability to contribute to a team is undermined by the fact that they are never consistently healthy. And in the NBA, we say this all the time, your best asset is your availability. If Mitch's availability is going to constantly come into question and it's constantly going to prevent him from being what we need, and that's a big man who's going to go ahead and give us that rim protection, and we don't have a backup plan in Noel, and yes, we got Taj, but let's call it what it is. Taj is not a spring chicken. You need somebody that you can consistently rely on. So it poses the question is, what do you do with Mitch? Do you trade him and get someone that you can go ahead and rely on consistently? Do you just chalk it up to weight gain? There's a lot of unknowns with that situation, and this has kind of been the writing on the wall since last season.
And let's not forget what year it is. It's contract year. You know, we can talk about maybe next year. We could have said that back in the past. We're on contract year now, and he's off to one of those same starts that we've seen in years in the past before weight gain, like you mentioned, Ash. And maybe you're right, Alex. Maybe that might be the case, but I don't know. It is getting a little concerning. I don't want to jump out the window with that yet. You know, we're still yet to be completely 100% as a team yet, so I'm not going to try to do anything. But it's definitely a conversation that needs to be had, because if we're trying to talk about throwing any kind of contract at him, I know people are comparing people that were in that same draft class or people that are around his skill level that are getting different this contract and that contract, Robert Williams and these other guys. Look, man, the kid needs to be on the court before we can even have that talk. Yeah. But this is the year. There's no more years after this, and we got to figure that out if we're going to move forward. Or, like Ashley said, we might have to move on from it. But that's a conversation for another day.
Well, let's get to the phones in a little bit. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for your squad. Knicks with a 92-84 come from behind win over the Pacers. Much needed win, man. Knicks move to 8-6 on the campaign. So much needed win, first of a 3-game homestand, and winnable games. You know, we got the Magic coming in on Wednesday. We have the Rockets coming in on Saturday. So definitely winnable games before we get into a pretty hectic schedule next week. We talked about IQ and just the fact that, you know, this kid has just been finding ways to come up big in the clutch. He tied the game at 74 for us. He put us up one with a corner three. Good pass by Julius Randle. Give credit to Julius. That was with about 5 minutes to go. Next possession, he gets a big, big offensive rebound. So I thought Emmanuel Quickly was great. Once again, Derrick Rose, solid. I'm glad that Tibbs closed with him, because Rose was every bit of what we needed. You know, even though Kemba set a nice tone, set the table for us, didn't have it going in the third. Brogdon was eating him up on the defensive side. Rose finds RJ leaking out in a nice transition pass, then finishes over some bonus for a nice layup to close it out in the clutch. So great job by Rose. RJ, you know, RJ did not have his shot going in the first half. I thought he got a lot of shots in rhythm. I thought a lot of his shots were there. They just weren't falling. Then I'm starting to get the messages. I'm starting to get the tweets, RJ this, RJ that. But give credit to RJ, man. Three big three-pointers in that second half, two of which came in the fourth quarter. He just never quit. You know, he never quit. Ends up going 4-for-13 on the field, Ash. But, you know, shout out to Broadway, man. 12 points, 6 boards, and the three big three-point shots to get it back going in rhythm in the second half. And they were all big shots for us.
Yeah, and quickly, because I see some people in the chat kind of disagreeing with me, CK, and Alex's take on Mitch saying, oh, well, he was healthy his first two seasons. Let's call it what it is. The NBA is a very what have you done for me lately league. It just is what it is. Like it or not, sorry, that's just the business of basketball. So him being healthy in his first two seasons does nothing for me, because if you look at the last few seasons, if you look at last season, let's just go last season since we're speaking in present tense, he wasn't available to us when we needed him. It just wasn't the case. Now we're looking at another situation where we don't know what the situation is. He has the extra weight on him, so it may not be his first and last injury this season. I understand that he wasn't the case in his first two seasons, but you guys got to step into the future. It's a very, like I said, what have you done for me lately league. And when you get into this narrative of, well, he wasn't, you know, injury prone his first two seasons, so players change, their bodies change, their durability changes, their availability changes. You got to go ahead and go season to season and stop looking at who he was in 2018. It's almost 2022. It's a new team, a new system. The East is different. The teams are more competitive. We went to the playoffs last season. This is a different conversation. We can't bring up 2018, 2019 anymore. And that's over and done with. You got to step in and look at who he is as a player today.
All right, let's get to the phone. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for your squad. We got 1,400 people in here. Let's get up to 1,000 likes, man. Knicks Post Game Live presented by Manscaped, CP, Ashley Moss, Alex Ritar, CK2K in the building. Kicking us off on the phones, we got Benji from Manhattan kicking us off. Benji, what's going on?
What's up, guys? What's up, Ashley? Long time since I called you guys, feels like. So I'm happy that we got the win tonight. Just a few observations for the game. First off, that was kind of like I'm not saying anything revolutionary here, but that was obviously sort of like a mid to late 90s Knicks Pacers feel game. I was waiting for Travis Best to come out there.
84 points, 84, man. Crazy.
Yeah, I was waiting for Derek McKee, Hayward Workman, and Travis Best to trot out there. But, I mean, obviously I'm thrilled we pulled out the win. I'm a little bit concerned about RJ, even though he had some big shots in the second half and in the fourth quarter to seal the game. You know, this is like 4 or 5 games now of him struggling with his shot. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but he's losing his confidence a little bit. Obviously it ended well tonight. And then my guy Fournier really needs to pick up his play, man. The first 5-6 games of the season, he was really shooting the ball great. He was playing aggressively. He was confident, and he's sort of lost that now. He's not even really getting a lot of shots up. He looks a little tentative out there. I mean, I want to trust that he can get it back because he's been a pretty good scorer in the league for 6-7 years now in Orlando and in Boston. So we really need him because he's really the X factor, and he gives us that sort of extra dimension. As far as Mitch goes, I mean, honestly – I'm a big Mitch fan, obviously. I'm a proud buyer of and owner of the Knicks Fan TV Mitchell Robinson T-shirt. However, gotta support the squad. But if you were to put Jericho Sims out there for the same amount of time, I feel like he would do virtually the same production wise as Mitch. I mean, maybe Mitch is a little bit more athletic. But Jericho, I mean, I feel like he would kind of give you much of the same. So in that respect, I think he's kind of becoming a little bit expendable, especially because, you know, we have so many centers on the roster now. And if Taj can do what he did tonight, I mean, I hope they're really moving along with the statue building in front of MSG for Taj, because he deserves it, man. He deserves it. And then my last point is amazing defense by our guy Alex Burks tonight on Brogdon.
Yeah,
that was major effort, and we needed it because the Knicks were a little bit lifeless at that point. I think we were down like 12 or even maybe like 9, but we were kind of, the game was kind of slipping away, and Burks just put it in that extra gear. He dug in, he got into Brogdon, shut it down, and gave us that energy. Good night, y'all. Big win on to Wednesday.
Appreciate the call, man. Appreciate the call. Let me shout out some of the super chats that have come in so far. Got to salute the people. Shout out my guy, Emil Beaumont-Sore, checking in from Australia. He says, since the Australian super chat, says, I love Taj Gibson's energy. Wonder how Tibbs will manage the center minutes as Taj provides things that both Mitch and Noel don't. And then Benji just mentioned Sims. I don't see Sims getting in just yet, man. Well, if Mitch is not available, then we have no choice. Sims is by default the backup center because, you know, both Nerlens and Mitch are going to be out. So I think, you know, you have it by default. I think Sims will get in. But make no mistake, Taj is going to be there and logging a healthy amount of minutes, CK. Taj is in there, bro.
And but the thing is, like you were saying, I'm ready for the damn statue. I hope when I go out there and visit, I see the bottom part of the statue already being built. You know, I need it to happen because Taj doesn't play like his age, and I'm loving every second of it. But how long is that going to be, you know, in January? How the knee's going to be, how the legs going to be? Those are the kind of worries I have. And for that reason, I think that we will have to run some Sims in certain situations. Yeah. But I know Alex spoke on it a little bit earlier. It was nice to see Tibbs try it out, the OB and Randall combination.
Yeah.
I think when he did, it was not the right time because Turner had just checked in. So I don't know if the timing was right because there was other situations where I feel like it worked out. But regardless, it seems like Tibbs, outside of the other rotations that we've talked about, you know, keeping quickly out there, Rose playing with some of the starters and that kind of stuff. Maybe as time goes on and we don't know if we're losing, we don't have Mitch on Wednesday or whatever the case may be, maybe that is something that comes up in the future. But, I'm with you. I'm a big fan of Sims. I think Sims is going to be a fun one for us long term, but I don't think he's there yet. I think in the sample sizes we've seen of him, I don't think he's quite there just yet. But, I mean, he's going to be forced to play, and let's see what he does in that time.
And I agree with you, CK, on, like, Sims not being ready. I think he's still a little bit too raw. You see there's miscues when it comes to defensive reads, who he's supposed to be covering. Sometimes he's not fully blocking out when he's trying to get a rebound. The other thing, too, is that he's on a two-way contract, so he's only permitted to play 50 games. So once he plays over 50 games, that's it. You have to sign him to then a full-time contract and then take up a roster spot, so you'd have to get rid of somebody.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind that they're trying to wean him into certain situations to get him that experience, but they want to try to make sure that he can stay on that two-way contract for probably if not the entire season, if not most of the season.
True indeed, man. Shout out to Rhyme Animal, Chuck D. Everybody throw a hashtag PE in the chat. Chuck's in the super chat, says we're breaking out of the Knicks sand, which is tough. It's happening. We have a system most teams don't, and we require two-way players. Hustle, defense, energy. The league boils down to conditioning and coaching adjustments after 20 games in. Shout out to Ryan Manimal, Chuck D. 03 Stang GT, Mustang guy, sends a $20 super chat. Says IQ brought the smoke tonight. Yeah, that's a fact, man. So shout out to him. Shout out to Cool Vids, man. $20 super chat. David Cole Fonseca, he says, starting Rose, Quick, RJ, Randall, Mitch. By the way, you guys are the best sports podcast, top notch, and truly for the fans. Appreciate it. So shout out David Fonseca. Brian Almonte, thanks for the super chat. He says, Knicks with defense and a W, we hear. Is Fournier and Kemba slander justified today? What do you think? I don't think so, man. Definitely not Kemba. Definitely not Kemba.
That's right.
No, not at all.
Definitely not Kemba. I thought Kemba was, again, he brought it. He set the tone for us tonight, Al.
Yeah, he did. And, like, he got – honestly, if this is what we can get from Kemba, 20 minutes, and what do you have tonight? 16 points?
Yeah.
If you can get that or 20 points within 20 minutes and give the remaining minutes to D. Rose, you essentially got your point guard position covered for the entire game.
I'm good with it.
You had a little bit of Alec Burks covering for, like, 2-3 minutes, but – between both of them, it was kind of split evenly. And I like having Derrick Rose close. That's what everyone's been wanting, right? Derrick Rose to close.
Amen.
So as long as Kemba can come in, give you some points, you know his defense isn't there. If he can, you know, generate some offense and just distribute the ball and just be a creator for everybody else within those 20 minutes, we're golden.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think right now we're just waiting on everybody else's game to catch up. We've seen two games in a row now where Kemba's really been a fire starter for us. Every time he's getting dribble penetration, he's getting into the paint, good things happen. You know, good things are happening. And so he needs to keep that same energy. He needs to keep that up. And I think the rest of the guys, their shots will follow, man. I think their shots will fall. I thought we had a ton of good looks in the first half in particular, and the shots just weren't falling, man. So I think if we can keep that same energy on the offensive side of things, the offense is going to come together. I agree with Benji's comments on Fournier. You want to see him, come alive and get back into some rhythm, but we just got to give these guys a chance to gel. But give credit to Tibbs. He's showing over these games now. He's not afraid to close without him. And I think he should do that because these guys, whether it's Burks, Rose, IQ, the combination thereof, they have the chemistry right now carried over from last year. It's clear as day. So you might as well go to those guys to close when you have that depth. Embrace the depth. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's see who else we got in here. Let's go to, I heard from Benji. Let me get my guy Book from Queens in here. I didn't get Book in the last time. Book, what's going on?
Hey, what's up to the panel? Great to hear from you guys. Good to get up a W. You guys bring up some interesting points, and I wanted to just cover that and some things I've seen. So number one on Jericho Sims, I think he's in a tough position right now because our second unit is basically keeping us in games, and we can't disrupt that. And so one of the things I was talking to my buddy about with Chicago and losing Vooch, as bad as Vooch can be on defense, the thing that they miss is a big who knows how to play, who, knows how to play basketball. He knows how to set screens. And the thing that we were praising Mitch for in this year is how his IQ has raised. The thing I think we underestimate as, just watching the game is that intangible thing of having somebody on the floor who's looking around not knowing what to do and where to be and how that throws you off. And so for that reason, we need our starters to play better so that Jericho could play for Taj. Right now, Statue Taj, a.k.a., the greatly exaggerated demise of Taj Gibson, his IQ is just so hot. His screens are perfect. He's going over the rolls perfect. The way he's guarding the screen and roll is perfect. Taj is just literally the definition of a vet, and he's the glue that's holding us together without having to fill up the stat sheet. You replace that with a rookie who doesn't have 100 NBA hours under his belt, you just can't do it. And it'll cost us while we're fighting for our Eastern Conference life right now as everything's starting to come together. That having been said, I think that what we really need is Fournier has to step up. You got to earn your money because RJ's 21. He's going to go through slumps. The one thing that was scaring me early on was not that Julius was missing shots, but that he was playing bad. I said earlier about Quick that Quick was missing shots, but he was playing well. And when those shots are going to start going in, y'all going to be loving Quick again. And that's what's happened, right? But with Julius, the ball was sticking. Tonight, I saw Julius just set screens, rebound the basketball, eagerly pass the teammates, and that's a wonderful sign going forward. So now the last thing we need is Fournier. He might have his Olympic legs, that season came in shooting hot. Maybe the second win is going away, and they got the little jelly legs from the beginning of the season. We need him to step up, and I think everything else will work itself out. We'll be fine.
Okay. All right, man. Appreciate the call, man. Book from Queens on the check-in. Let's go. Oh, King Deej is back. King Deej is back. It's been a while, man.
What's he gonna do? Curve me again?
Yeah, after that tension with Ash, we didn't know which way things were gonna go, man. It was a little situation, but I was wondering the other day. I was like, we haven't heard from Deej in a minute, man. So right. Deej, welcome back, bro.
Well, that was a nice intro, CP. I appreciate that. Shout out to Big Ashley. How you doing? Happy Monday.
What's up?
That's all I got. I don't got nothing else. I'm not Angel. Shout out Angel. All right. The MVP of tonight was Tibbs, is finally letting go of the rope. And when I say the rope, I mean it's the shuffling of the rotation. He's always putting the starters with the starters. RJ had 2 points in the last game because unapologetically, my boy gets lost in the desert. They don't look for my boy. You got to switch it up. He did everything in the rotation. And, hey, this is what a regular season is. He's learning his team now. His team strength is the depth. And speaking of depth, one thing we don't have is that center position, man. If y'all remember last year, I said, and I think the whole conversation was my boy, shout out my boy Jay from Florida. Mm-hmm. He wanted to bring RJ to the airport and trade RJ for whoever he could get. And I said I would bring him to the Gatos Bridge and trade Nick before I would do that. And I remember Ashley was in here laughing. She agreed with me. CP, you was laughing. You agree with me. I think CK, you was here. I'm not too sure. But the whole point of that is, and maybe Ashley could attest to this because, you know, I put her in the friend zone. So I'm
I'll mention my that. Name, bro.
So I love that.
Ari said his name is King Curves. Go ahead, bro.
You can't love somebody that's never around. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be in love with somebody that's never around. And that's how I feel about Mitch. And that's just the sad truth. I'm not blaming him for getting hurt. Getting hurt is a part of the game. But when you get hurt repetitively and you're not, and your name's not Joel Embiid or Joker or Rudy Gobert or Anthony Davis, you know, I don't have the connection that everybody else has with Mitch. I got it for RJ. I don't got it for Mitch. So that's just how I feel about that. Going forward, I just want to, you could tell that they was practicing over the weekend. They had the whole weekend off. They was practicing defense. I don't know what the Kemba slander is. I mean, I'll take 17 from Kemba, and anybody was paying attention, but when he didn't get the foul call and he got the technical in the third quarter, that was the changing of the momentum. Somebody had to step up and say enough is enough. And I'm sorry, but in the starting five, it's looking slowly. Like, I know Randall is the supposed leader, but Kemba is the spark plug that makes that engine go. So I want them to keep focusing on that. Tibbs did his thing with the rotations, and I just want, you know, it's easy wins. I know everybody's saying it's easy wins, but we did lose to Orlando at home, so I don't know why everybody feels safe about that. I don't feel safe about anything, and I've been saying all summer the East got better, man. So it's gonna be tough. I just want to say that, but I'm out. Peace and love.
No doubt. King Curve in the chat, the new nickname, King Curve on the check-in. Ash, do you have any words?
No, I don't know him.
Okay. All right.
Whose man's is this? I don't know this man.
She says, stop saying my name, y'all.
I'm kidding. Shout out to King B. That's
King Curve. Everybody drop a King Curve in the chat. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for your squad. Knicks Post Game Live presented by Manscaped. If you guys are new in the chat, we got 1,600 people here. Number one, hit that like button. Hit that thumbs up button. If you guys are new in the chat, man, drop a hashtag new in the chat, and we will shout you guys out. We are here recapping the Knicks 92-84. Come from behind win over the Pacers. If you guys want to call in too, phone lines are open. We got a ton of people on the phone line. 657-383-1509 is the number to call, or you can hit us up on the Knicks Fan TV Discord. I want to shout out Juju 92. Juju, how you feeling, man? What's going on? Welcome, Juju 92. Punch Nice, you're in here every episode, but salute to you. Jonathan Baptiste, what's going on? All right. CK, who you want to shout out in here, man?
Oh, damn. I'm seeing the hashtag curves coming up. I ain't going to do that. Yeah. Shout out to the hashtag old. Still, we see you. Yeah. I got MP in here coming in multiple times. Terrell Turner, we know you. I don't know if you're new, though, bro, but welcome, yeah. Terrell Turner. No, I feel like I've seen your name a few times. Well, we got Clive Higgins, new from Connecticut. Appreciate you. What's good? Sometimes new Kareem Grant. You ain't new, bro. You ain't new. We know your name, too. Bricks Nation, Nelson Best. Shout out to all the new crew, and shout out to all the I feel like the mods are in here hot today. So shout out to the mods as always. Gotta get love to the mods.
Ash, what you want to shout out in the chat?
Let's see. Oh, shout out to Rolando C. Love you too. That's so sweet. Shout out to all the hashtag King Curves. That's what's up. Shout out to Ari in the chat, causing chaos as usual. Ain't nobody blushing, Ari. Hop off my jock. Shout out to all the hashtag news. I'll shout a few of them out. Shout out to Emo. Shout out to David. Shout out to Eddie. Shout out to Juju 92. Hello, hello. Shout out to Angel Goat Sit in the building. Simp. Yeah, so shout out to a few of you guys. Thanks for rocking. Make sure you guys hit that thumbs up, please.
Yeah.
There's 1,600 of you in the chat, only 500 likes.
Absolutely. I want to shout out my guy, CP's Manscaped Razor. Yes, we have our own account for one of these, man. So fellas, go out and go get that Lawnmower 4.0. Look, I even got it for you here in 4K, man. Look at that. That little matte black finish. You know, you got the custom aerodynamic blade cut down on those nicks, fellas. Very important, man. Go get that Lawnmower 4.0. It'll change your life. This is a good stocking stuffer for Christmas, no pun intended. Go to manscaped.com, enter promo code KFTV for 20% off plus free shipping on all Manscaped products, not just the Lawnmower 4.0, but they have the Performance Package 4.0 that comes with, you know, you get your ball deodorant, your ball toner, you get your ear and nose trimmer, boxer briefs, comes with a travel bag. So they got everything for today's man. So make sure you guys go to manscaped.com, enter promo code KFTV for 20% off plus free shipping. Support our sponsors. All right, let's take a couple more. Let's check on the phones real quick. Who we got on the phones here? Shout out Knicks Fan TV, Edgar, making his full-time debut. He's on the phones right now. Edgar getting it cracking. Let's go. JJ from Brooklyn. JJ, what's going on?
Yo, what's good? How's everyone doing, man?
How you feeling, bro?
Good, man. Good. Shout out to Edgar, man. We're going to miss David, but Edgar seems like a great dude himself, man.
Yeah, Edgar's on. Yeah, he's on his game, man, for sure.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. Yo, first, Alex, I gotta tip my cap to you, man, because I remember you guys had one of the shows in the off season. You guys were doing like lineups and whatnot, and you guys were doing one of the topics was a closing lineup for defense, and he had Quickly in there. And at first, I was like, yo, what is Alex talking about right now? Quickly for defense, all right. But yo, he's right, man. I gotta give you credit for that, man. He's been defending like crazy this year, man. So you saw that coming. So shout out to you for that, man. That was good. That was definitely a nice call on that one, man. But yo, I gotta say, Todd was the real MVP tonight, man. Big. I know Sabonis ended up with good numbers, but I don't care, man. Todd was defending him like he was stuck to him, man. He was defending on the perimeter. And CP, your guy Burks, the play with like I think there was about 9 minutes in the fourth. We're down three, and he just put the clamps on Brogdon. I was jumping up and down. It got the bench height. It changed the whole momentum of the game.
Whole momentum.
The Garden was going nuts, and then Quickly comes right up. Next play after, and hits the three. That changed the whole momentum, man. That was just huge. Quickly's just playing great. He's got his jump shot back. He's defending like crazy. I'm a little worried about the centers right now, obviously with Noel and Mitch. The thing is, I don't get it. A lot of people are saying trade Mitch. I'm not saying that's crazy, but what value are you gonna get for a center that's going to be a free agent, is injury prone, and still has not developed any sort of offensive game besides alley-oop dunks? Like, I'm not going to train for a second-round pick. I'd rather just keep him and just pray he somehow stays healthy. You know, I mean, the guy's gotten hurt like 8 times in like 10 games.
Maybe you get him on the cheap, and that's a cheap tradable contract down the road if you have to go that route.
True, you know what I'm saying? That's true. Yeah, that's pretty much it, man. You guys have a good one, all right? Thanks for taking
my guy, JJ, never misses a show, man. JJ from Brooklyn, appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I see the whole Mitch thing. I mean, look, at the end of the day, you got him as a second-round pick. He was a steal of the draft. Yes, you want to see his development be further ahead. Yes, you want to see him be durable. But at this point in time, where the Knicks are from a salary cap perspective, it's not like, you know, you're going to go out there and sign something major with the money that you have left. So you might as well, you know, you probably get a cheaper deal for them. Keep them. Keep developing them. And if a package comes, you know, it could be a cheap contract to trade. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think that's the scenario. I think because of everything that's going on, everything you just mentioned, it might not be the same as it once was, where if we were to offer Mitchell Robinson, we might get a lot more. At this point, it's one of those things that if we get a phone call and the deal makes sense, then that's when you consider it. So, I agree with that completely. And I hope that's probably the best case scenario for us is, you know, because of the unfortunate situation right now with injuries and whatnot, his contract, his extension, or whatever we end up giving him ends up being cheaper. And then it turns out in the long run, he ends up magically becoming healthy. Like that'd be the dream. You know what I mean? But yeah, I think at this point, as far as us looking for deals, I don't know what we're going to get. But if there is a deal on the table and he's included, I'm saying that I feel like there should be it should be thought about and it should be something we look at. But that's only if the right deal makes sense or if they're the right offer is there.
CK, you mentioned like a cheaper deal and then him turning out great for the Knicks. That kind of reminds me of like Steph Curry, right, with his busted ankles. That,
the ankles, man. Yep.
You know, that he kept, every season he kept getting injured. And then right. You know, you're able to get on a cheaper deal. He turns out that he, you know, for him, he gets the right ankle braces to make sure that he can play an entire season. I don't know what the case would be for Mitch, for him to get through an entire season. But, you know, if he can last through an entire season on a cheaper deal, that's just it's kind of just good luck for the Knicks in that case. But I can see, you know, I can see the Knicks giving him a cheaper deal to make it more palpable for, you know, a team that wants to do a trade to see, oh, we can get Mitch with high value on a nice deal locked up for some time and a good, like a throw in for a trade package. But, and I could also see him being traded like this season if they don't have that faith that he can stay healthy. I think it's just kind of rough right now because we don't know the severity of this ankle. We don't know if he's going to be able to come back because Mitch, for as much as he gets injured or has these nicks or scares, he does come back and he tries to play through it. So
yeah,
let's see what the status is.
The thing that I keep getting to though, just to piggyback off that, I agree, but what, and I think to CP's point too, because I feel the same way. What do you think we're going to get from him if that is the route? You know, just because we know that, you know, he's been hurt damn near in all the games, whether he's played through them or not, you know, what kind of deal are we getting if it's just for Mitch Robinson or somebody else is included? I think that's
not only that,
the
but like what,
at.
Not only that, but like what kind of player are you getting? Yeah, you can go ahead and applaud the fact that he tries to come back, you know, immediately or as quickly as possible from injury. Mm. And also that he tries to play through a lot of injuries, but also look at the product. Like you have to look at it from that perspective as well. Yeah, it's an honorable thing to do. It makes you a good teammate, right? You want to be there for your squad. You want to put aside your own personal, you know, pain and feelings and all that stuff to be there. But also what kind of player do you get when you constantly have to do that? You never get a player that's 100%. You never get a player that can really contribute to a team night in and night out because he's never 100% when he gets there. So you got to look at that factor as well.
For sure. And I think with Mitch, when you think like what deals you can get him, you know, the thing is that he's probably going to be added into a trade package. He's not the sole piece himself that you're saying, all right, I want Mitch. Let's do a straight up trade for Mitch. Because I think if you just did a straight up trade for Mitch, as of right now, you're not getting a good return for what he can be. You'd have to package him in some sort of deal for a team that needs another player that you'd be willing to move. And hopefully, you know, you're moving up when you make a trade, not moving laterally. So whether that's getting a stable center in return or getting a wing that we need, that's how I would look as a deal with like Mitch coming through. But the injuries are the concern. Like,
right.
We got to see if he can just stay healthy and bounce back.
Right.
He can't keep scaring us every single game.
No,
I can't keep going every single game.
The way
like,
he
is this
plays,
man okay?
The way
scary,
he plays
man.
Is scary.
Yeah.
Like he plays so like aggressively and just recklessly that I watch him literally with one eye closed. Like, oh my God, please don't. Like every time he falls to the ground, every time he goes up, every
now
time he's, I'm just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like,
facts. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for your squad. Let's get back to the phones. Edgar, do me a favor. I see that 614 number. I saw my guy Mo from Australia had dropped. I need my guy Mo Fax in here, Mo Ballin. We got to get him in here. Not sure if that's him on the 614 number, but just go ahead and screen that call. Let me see if that's him. In the meantime, let's go to BK. BK Khalil, what's going on?
Hey, what's up? How's it going, y'all? First off, hit that like button.
Yes,
subscribe, ring the bell. Knicks Fan TV, CP, CK, Ask, Alex, I haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you. I want to talk a bit about, you know, some of the development with these starters. You know, it's been talked a lot about how great this bench is and these starters, one of the worst in the league. And I think we're actually seeing some progress, you know, especially on the defensive end. This game, Taj Gibson, you know, everyone's talked about it, you know, most reliable center of this Knicks front court. Absolutely. And I had a question about, so there's been a lot of talk about, you know, lineup changes, I agree with you, CP. I think that you know he needs more time to gel. Tibbs isn't going to do it, but if not, what needs to be done to bring consistent basketball in this starting lineup? And mm-hmm. and so the question of a lineup change, who needs to be moved to the bench to get that lineup up to snuff if you go that route? Yeah. Question I have.
Appreciate the call, man. I just don't see Tibbs making any knee-jerk reactions to the starting five right now. But I think what you'll see is what you've seen tonight and what you've seen in every game when the starting lineup it doesn't have it. He goes where he needs to go to the bench. We have a deep bench. Quickly has been on fire these last six games. He's back. Burks was doing his thing tonight. Rose, it was his night tonight. Taj, it was his night tonight. You know, we have that depth where we can mix and match pieces. And we haven't seen Evan Fournier play a fourth quarter maybe since the Boston game. You know what I'm saying? Like a meaningful fourth quarter.
Right.
We haven't seen it. So I don't think we're going to see anything major. You know, I don't think you're not going to put your highest paid free agent on the bench. That just wouldn't look right. You're not going to put Fournier on the bench for Burks. You're not going to put RJ on the bench. And I don't think you're going to start D-Rose anytime soon anyway. So I don't see any changes to the starting five. But how we close, you can go with whatever you want. Whoever's playing the best. That's what Tibbs did tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because he had a stretch where he took Rose out for RJ and then brought Rose back in and go to Kemba in the fourth quarter. So that's how Tibbs is going. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. I just don't see any immediate changes to the lineup.
I don't think he's going to make any immediate changes either. I think what he's going to do is what we saw tonight, as he talked about, CP, is that he's probably, if anything, he'd pull guys after like 5 minutes and get something in there to, you know, get a jolt back into the offense. He's not going to, because once you start messing with that five, right, and if you look at that bench unit, we have the best bench unit. We're talking about, if you go to cleaning the glass, mm-hmm. Number one bench unit out there, number one unit out there, number one lineup out there.
Oh.
Of all the plus 27.6 differential. They're number one right now in the league. They're in the 100th percentile, the only team. You don't want to change that because they're just taking advantage of other team second units. I don't see Tibbs wanting to break that up. You want to keep taking advantage of the second units. That's how we keep coming back. But the only thing that you can do is do what we saw in the fourth quarter tonight. All right, don't put Kemba back in. All right, don't put Fournier back in. Put RJ, Julius out there. Leave D-Rose out there with Quickly. Or even leave Alec Burks if Quickly isn't having it, or vice versa, whoever. That's how you do it. You've got to make those changes sooner, and especially in the third quarter. That third quarter of doom is because we keep getting the starting unit for like 8 minutes. We don't need him for 8 minutes because nothing's happening. He needs to go to that bench a lot sooner. As soon as we get down to like 8-7 minutes and we're not seeing anything, that's when that change needs to come in. That's really where that change needs to happen. Because for the most part, we saw for two games in a row against the Hornets. Mm-hmm. And now that the starting unit is fine, we see the ball movement. We see everyone trying to get into rhythm. It's that third unit. And I'll go back to Stephen Bonney's article. Tibbs was allowing these guys to freelance. These guys are not freelancers.
Mm-hmm.
And Ashley talked about it too with LeBron James being the guy who can handle everything for whatever team that he was on. These are not those guys. Most of these guys came from Duke, Kentucky. Two coaches that we're talking about that run systems, that have guys in positions to succeed because they give them a position. Guys who could freelance, you know, like LeBron James, if you think about that Miami Heat team with like D-Wade and all those guys, they don't need that type of structure.
Mm-hmm.
Our guys do.
It's definitely concerning, though, because I do hear what you're saying about the bench. Like, I agree. I think the bench is phenomenal. I mean, 44 points tonight showcases that. I think it's about being creative and utilizing them. And like you're saying, you know, starting them sooner rather than later. And also being creative, not necessarily, you know, playing the same five, maybe mixing and matching, like, again, like we saw tonight. But being a little bit of a pessimist, I am concerned with the fact of, you know, if our starting lineup is very unpredictable and more times than none is leading to the side of, you know, mediocrity, if you will, or just, you know, like I said, very unpredictable play. It's concerning when you start talking about playoffs or when you start talking about the stretch of a season, right? Because your starting lineup is a big chunk of what makes you a successful team, right? And it is concerning if our starting lineup is not always the greatest, because you can think, yeah, you can go ahead and play the bench as much as possible, but you still need a solid starting lineup. Like, that's the foundation of your team. That's the foundation of the game. And that's the foundation of a playoff series. My concern is what's the alternative to a lineup that is, like I said, very unpredictable and sometimes not always the most reliable?
Go to your bench. Go to your bench early or close, like we saw tonight.
Yeah. But the other key is that first part, go to your bench a lot earlier. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
we go to them in the 9-10 minute mark and in the third quarter, and we already lost our 10-point, 8-point, 12-point lead, and it's down. We're either down by a point or barely up a point. So, yeah, the key is we got to go to our bench a lot earlier for sure.
No question. Shout out my guy, Hoodies Vintage. Hoodies Vintage sent a super chat. Season ticket holder. He says, good gritty win, still hopeful Tibbs goes to the bench earlier to avoid having to constantly come back. Hopefully RJ snaps out of it, his funk, and Kemba can be consistent offensively. We need the identity. So shout out my guy, Hoodies Vintage, for the timely super chat. Didn't even know that one was coming in, but he sent it in. So shout out to Hoodies Vintage. Let me see what other super chats have come in since we've been going. We got 1,700 on the check-in. Let's get those likes up. Hit that thumbs up button for your squad. Waiting to see who that 614 number is. Edgar, who's that 614 number? Let me know. In the meantime, let me go to Lamar. Let's go to Austin, Texas. New caller, Lamar from Austin, Texas. What's going on?
Yo, what's up, CP? What's good, man? I've called before.
Hang on. Are you on speakerphone, bro?
Oh, yeah. I was. My fault. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, thank you very much. Edgar, right, no cool. Speakerphone, bro. No speakerphone.
My bad, CP, my bad. Just want to say hello to the crew and everybody, but I just want to call in because my birthday's tomorrow, and I felt like, yo, the Knicks won tonight, so it was like a birthday. Hey, appreciate it. It was like an early B-Day gift, and I want to let y'all know I'm going to be out there December 7th when the Knicks play the Spurs, so I'll be out there. I already bought my tickets last night, so, you know, I'm going to be repping out there in San Antonio. You know that, so I'm going to be at that game.
Let's do it, man.
Happy birthday, man. So, appreciate it. So I didn't want to say much, man. Just wanted to say that real quick. You guys do a great job, man. Everybody does good. But, you know, hey, I'm probably the only cat out here in Austin, Texas, representing the Knicks, though. But New York is home, though. So always repping my Knicks, no matter where I'm at.
Man, TV is your home, man. So continue to hold us down out there. And thanks for supporting us, bro. Definitely appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yo, no problem. And, yo, I'll be at that game December 7th, Knicks and Spurs. I'll be there.
Let's go. Lamar from Austin.
No doubt, man.
Big up, Lamar.
Lamar, see what you can do about Giannis DeJounte Murray, bro.
happy belated birthday, Nelson. I see you in the chat. Happy birthday.
Nelson, happy birthday, man. Definitely happy birthday to you. Ash, you got a flex, right?
I do. I want to say go Knicks.
Yeah.
Good win. Let's keep that trajectory. Let's win all three home games. Defend home court. I have an interview I got to prep for in the morning, but I wanted to come rock with you guys after a win. And like I said, defend home court because the season's only going to get harder. The home games are supposed to be the easiest. You got to protect MSG. That's our territory. Mm-hmm. You can't let anybody come in and run us out of it. So,
absolutely, Ash. Appreciate that. And
bye.
Good luck on the interview. All right. Salute to everybody in the chat once again.
Bye.
We'll be rocking with you guys for a little bit. Take some couple more calls before we wrap up, man. Knicks Post Game Live presented by Manscaped, CP the Franchise, Alex Rattar, Stratocaster, CK2K, presented by Manscaped. As I said, go to manscaped.com. Enter promo code KFTV for 20% off plus free shipping. And as you guys know, in addition to manscaped.com, this show is also sponsored by Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports fellas made easy. Now, Prize Picks offers props. It's a prop game. So we're going over. When we play Prize Picks, we're basically predicting over or under on a certain statistic for for players. It's that easy, right? So you can play football, you can play NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball when it's in season, you can play soccer when it's in season, and all you're doing is you're picking individual players, you're picking their stats. For example, in basketball, you can pick between points, rebounds, assists, three-point shots, and free throws made for key players. They have stars, you have bench players, and you can pick between 2 and 5 prop style stats, and that's it. So basically, that's the name of the game. And shout out to Prize Picks once again. They offer more NBA props than any other daily fantasy sports prop operator that you can think of. And if you go to prizepicks.com, either download the app or go to prizepicks.com and enter promo code KFTV, they're going to match your deposit 100% up to $100. So let's say you sign up and you say, okay, I'm only going to put in $20. They're going to match you $20. So you're going to have $40 to play with. Let's say you go in there and you want to play with $50. They're going to match you $50 and you'll have $100 to play with. You put in $100, you'll have $200 to play with. Now, on the season, I'm about 1 in maybe 5 of my Prize Picks games, but it's a lot of fun. Let me tell you something. It's a lot of fun. I like playing these prop games because I know I'm getting close. I'm getting close, man. And tonight was one of those nights where it was a heartbreaker for CP the franchise because first and foremost, here's where I went. I went Miles Turner over 1.5 3 points made. We all know in the last matchup against the Knicks, he hit about what, 7. He crushed him from beyond the arc. I figured our three-point defense would tighten up a little bit, but I still figured that he would make at least 2. And he hit one in the third quarter, and in the fourth quarter, fellas, his three-corner three literally went in and out. I could have hit that, and I just missed. So sometimes those things can bite you. I went with Lonzo Ball over 4.5 dimes tonight against the Lake Show. That game is on right now. I got to check the stats. I haven't checked.
He's at 4 right now. I picked the same thing.
How much time left, CK?
Just went to halftime.
So we got to figure. We got a good chance at this one. Lonzo, 4.5. So he's got to get 5 dimes for me to hit on that one. Lakers, one of the worst teams defending point guards. I just felt like Lonzo has some chemistry, has some momentum going with that Chicago Bulls team. So I picked Lonzo over 4.5 dimes. The next pick I made was Ja Morant over 23.5 points home against the Houston Rockets. And to tell you how tough this thing is, he finishes with 22 points. He had 22 points by the end of the third quarter. The only problem was the Grizzlies blew out the Rockets by like 40 points and he didn't play. All I needed was one more bucket for Ja Morant to hit the over on 23.5 points. I needed one more bucket, and I just missed it. But nevertheless, I'm still alive here because I did go with AD, Anthony Davis, over 25.5 points, home against the Chicago Bulls. Bulls coming on the second of a back-to-back against the Clippers with no big man, no Vucevic, no big man help. I figured this should be a night where Anthony Davis eats. And we'll see what happens there. And then I went with Jimmy Garoppolo tonight, man. I thought he was going to get into a shootout with the Rams. I went over 240 passing yards. I think he finished with close to 200. So I didn't get that one there. But I'm coming close, people. I am coming close on the Prize Picks, man. But maybe you guys will hit, man. Make sure you guys support our sponsors. Go to prizepicks.com and to promo code KFTV for a 100% match on your deposit of up to $100. All right, let's get to the phones, and then I'll get my guys back in here. We'll take a couple more calls, and then we'll wrap. Let's go to Dylan from Melbourne, Australia. Dylan, what's going on?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear, man. How you doing, bro?
Perfect. What's going on, guys? Shout out to the panel. Shout out to everyone. My username on YouTube is South Guna usually, so usually commenting in with that one. But so great win today. Really, really good. I'm actually calling in regards to one, I think it was like 3-4 calls ago, talking about the center position And I'm with him. Like, I think we're a solid even last year I was saying this, but we're a solid center position away from being a solid contender in most other other team supporters' eyes. We haven't really had that position covered for the last 18 months or so. It's always been, you know, whether or not someone's going to... And another thing was in reference to, you know, Mitch Robinson and how we can best raise his value. What happens is every time that he comes back from injury or something, he's being rushed straight into the thick of things. We have that rotation or we haven't had that rotation. We've got people like, you know, Taj Gibson who can rely on for maybe, you know, 10 to 15 minutes a game or something, but we can't rely on somebody like that for, you know, 25, 35 minutes a game, 82 games a season. But, yeah, I just wanted to know what your thoughts were in regards to that center position, because against Charlotte, for example, there was a lot of talk about our perimeter defense being bad. But what I actually saw was, you know, quite often when the defense collapsed was Mitch wasn't actually like there was a couple of times where he just wasn't closing down quick enough. I don't know if we need to go small ball for that lineup or what, but yeah, I just want to know what your guys' thoughts were on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting, right? Because if you look at it statistically right now, I think we're like third in the league in terms of paint protection. I think we're about third in the league. We're still tops in the league in terms of opponents' field goal percentage. The biggest problem is our three-point defense. So, you know, I did see some people hit me on Twitter today saying, well, you know, why not go with Obi and see if you can get out there faster to defend the three-point line, which – you know, is a fair take. Tonight, I thought with Mitch in there, I didn't think they did too bad though. So, I'm just not sure, man. I'm not sure where we go with the center position. I think where we need to go is just be healthy first and foremost. Just be healthy, man.
Definitely. Yeah. Because I'm definitely with you in that we can't rely on somebody like you know, if we say that Obi Toppin is our starting center, other coaches will be laughing at us. They can, you know, get ready for that so easily. But if we chuck him in here and there, he could be really effective. Like, you know, obviously not every game, but yeah, it was just something I was thinking about earlier today. But yeah, thanks for taking my call. Really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll get to call in a few more times.
South Goon and Dylan checking in, man. Appreciate the call, man. Appreciate it. But you know what, fellas? Hey, at least we're seeing it. You know what I'm saying? At least we're seeing it much more often, even though when they did go to, you know, OB in this late stretch, you know, Pacers went right at him. It is what it is. I thought Randall did his best to try to cover for it. But Tibbs, I thought Tibbs saw a point where we needed offense. We had no Mitch. And instead of going Sims, you went OB. And I still thought it was the right move. Still thought it was the right move.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the right move. I mean, I'd rather see, because we already discussed it, right? Sims is a little too raw. You don't want to put him in this position where we need to get a win. And when you have, I think just putting Obi and Randall out there together, instead of, you know, having that defensive front that you necessarily want, you're then saying, hey, let's try to get some offense and run these guys off the court. But as CK pointed out, I think it was at wrong timing. And I don't necessarily think this is the right team to do it against when you have Miles Turner, who's an athletic big and can run with those guys. So it was still a good move by Tibbs. It obviously didn't work too well because Turner was out there. He's a true center who's mobile, who can keep up with Randall and Obi. But I think in the future, when you get into these positions, like a good chance for them to have done it was against, I think it was against the Philadelphia 76ers, where they didn't have Embiid. Drummond was out for a bit, and that's where you could have gone small ball, and Tibbs didn't go small ball. But I felt like that was a time where he could have used just some offense, put Randall out there. Randall's played the center before. He did that out in L.A. and when he was down in New Orleans for a bit, he knows how to play the five. Wouldn't necessarily have Obi at the five, but Randall can do short stints there. But that was like another area where he could have done it. I wish he did do it. But I think moving forward, you have to. And sadly, we only get this because Tibbs put in a position where he has to. He wouldn't necessarily do it. But I think you should, just to see where you can get some offense.
True indeed. Yeah, true. I know that because the last part Alex just said is I feel like, you know, he was almost forced into doing that. And I think that's what led to him trying it out when he tried it out with putting Obi Toppin in, because he had already had Taj Gibson playing some minutes. So he needed something to relieve Taj Gibson so he can close out the game as he did. But like you said, at the very least, we know he's willing to try it, because he could have gone with his guy, Jericho Sims, because he – Tibbs has not been afraid to throw Jericho Sims in. He played the first game. He was the first dude and rookie off the bench in the first game. So I know he's not afraid to throw him in there, but to give that that unit of Julius Randle and Obi Toppin to try again, that's good for us. It gives us hope that, you know, when the situation comes, because a lot of these Eastern Conference teams, we're going to have an opportunity to see them run together. Mm-hmm. I just feel like in that instance, it wasn't it. And I completely agree. The Philadelphia game was the game where we should have seen it, but we didn't get to see it. But we'll see what comes next. You know, we got our game on Wednesday. Maybe that'll be the time when we start to see it shine, and maybe it becomes a permanent fixture.
True indeed. All right, we got 8 minutes left on the switchboard. I want to hear from Dell Angel and close with Jay Boogie. Keep it one key take, and we got to keep it pushing, man. Dell from BK. Dell, what's going on? One hot take, rapid fire. What's going on?
It's actually Doug. Doug from Brooklyn. You guys are the best, man. I love Nick's TV. Smash that thumbs up button. Appreciate you guys. Yeah, I just wanted to say when Randle stayed on, Obi got taken out for Taj at the end of the game. I was a little tight. I'm always on Obi watch. I wanted to get more minutes. He's like my son when I watch him out there. I want him to succeed.
Yeah.
But then Julius stepped up, man. Julius played, did all these different things other than scoring and dribbling the air out of the basketball. And I was so impressed, especially when he found IQ in the corner, like you referred to earlier, CP. That was a fantastic pass. He's getting good defensive rebounds, closing possessions. So I was just saying, man, this guy's a versatile basketball player when he's not trying to only do one thing out there. So I was very, very pleased with that. And also, I just want to throw it out there. Can you name, what, 5, 6, 7 point guards you'd rather have right now than Derrick Rose? There's not that many.
Yeah.
Right. So appreciate you guys.
Appreciate it. Yeah, man, Julius has to he has to understand that he's our guy, whether he's making the shots or not. So he has to be able to impact the game, make winning plays for us. That's what he did last year. You know, his playmaking was so on point. I thought his defense was commendable. It wasn't shut down necessarily, but his defense was much more – he was much more in tune. His defensive awareness was there. And, those are the type of things that he's going to have to do to help us win these games. All right, Angel from Philly. Angel up next. Angel, what's going on?
Yo, what's good, CP? Alex, Vanilla, CP. My good. Guy, CK, 2K, what's up, yo? How y'all doing?
Good, man. What's going on? Yep.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man. Angel, shot clock is ticking, man. What happened, bro?
No.
All right. Oof, damn, bro. Angel, man. Shot clock is ticking, man. I don't know what happened. Gonna have to drop him off. Jay Boogie, close us out. Jay Boogie, what's going on?
Salute, 3 capital S's. Nah, the shot clock ain't ticking. I needed the extra time. I'm getting ready to go all the way off. I'm just playing, man. Man, I hope everything is all right with our God, man. But shout out to the team. Shout out to the squad. Shout out to the GM, you know.
Oh, no. Edgar, hold up.
In the building. I've been seeing you through the chats, man. I love you, my brother, you know what I'm saying? And shout out to the young Tim, Tony Yayo, you know what I'm saying? The fly guy, Cali Bond himself, you know what I'm saying? Well, man, you beefing, man. I need to holler at you. You ain't got at me yet, man. And, you know, Wonder Woman herself, she got a great interview on, you know what I'm saying? So she don't left up out of here looking like the young Jada Pickett. She get ready to go set it off. And shout out to my man, EG. If those who don't know who EG is, get familiar with it because I'm going to start promoting EG, you know what I'm saying? Right now, he's, you know, on his applications right now. I just finished talking to him. Good guy. Welcome aboard, my brother, you know what I'm saying? But I ain't got too much a lot to say, you know what I'm saying? I hear y'all talking about big mans, you know what I'm saying? Just throw this out there for everybody to remember this. Noel is getting paid more money than McGee and Drummond put together, point blank. I just wanted to throw that out there for a little wordplay, you know what I'm saying? But it don't make no difference how big you is, how small you is. I don't care. I want to play hardball, you know what I'm saying? I need that heart, you know what I'm saying? That's how we win games. That's how we won tonight. We back on having heart, you know what I'm saying? And we needed that tonight, you know what I'm saying? That's how we won games last year, playing with heart. It's not about the most talent and all that. It's about who got the most heart. Jim Jones said it best. Hard work beats talent when talent don't work hard. And when you don't got that much talent, you got to play extra hard and do the little things that the talent players don't want to do. You know what I'm saying? You don't see KD really taking too many charges. So you got to take charges, Julius Randle. It's a difference. But I like that little hard effort you did diving into the bleachers. I need all that every time, everything on the court when your jumper ain't falling. And I might have to go back to tonight last year and start re-promoting my man and start talking about them keys again. Yeah, them keys again. I'm going to start talking about them keys again because what he's doing right now is making a lot of noise on that court, you know what I'm saying? And he brings that energy level all the way up. That's what we don't have in our first starting line. Nobody got no energy all the way up. We need that. And nobody cutting on our team like Obi cutting. So those two things that we got on the bench with Quickly and Obi, we know they're going to do what they do. Keep doing what we're doing. First game of the three-game home stretch, we get ready to handle our business, you know what I'm saying? Get back aboard. Get back to winning. Get back, you know what I'm saying, being that team, you know what I'm saying, that some of these people want to throw under the bus. You know what I'm saying? When we start winning, no, don't try to unthrow them up under the bus. Throw yourself under the bus. God bless you, man. Everybody stay healthy and safe.
Jay Boogie, the closer, closing the show with straight bars. Throw some fives in the chat, man. That was a classic Jay Boogie sermon. Throw some fives in the chat.